accession number 28645, rule 20.
Right, that's beside the point. So
you're in Spain with your mother.
So after that,
traveling again.
After that bombardment, things quietened down, and of course everybody's lives were saved, and everybody was very pleased about that. And the army took, and afterwards the army took over the town, of course, and they had armed soldiers at every corner. They didn't shoot anything, but they were there. And then my husband and I were sitting having our coffee after lunch one day, just after, and one of the head servants from the residency asked to see us. So we said, yes, come along in. So he came in and he was carrying a bundle. My husband's heart stopped and my heart stopped. I thought, my God, somebody's killed a child. This is terrible. Here's a tear streaming down his face. And he started to unwrap this bundle. And then it proved to be an extremely large rabbit. But it had been his pet rabbit. And they get very fond of animals sometimes, extremely fond of animals. But as far as we were concerned, of course, we thought, well, thank God it's only a rabbit. And he said, it's terrible. He said, the soldiers are looting. They're going down through Arab town. They're looting people's houses. They're shooting people. It's terrible, etc., etc. So I said, right, this has got to stop. So I up and went out onto the road. And fortunately, the colonel in charge of the whole operation, he'd been left in charge of the troops, was standing there. So I went up to him and I said, look, I'm going down Arab town. He said, you're not. I said, I am. I said, either you let me go or I go on my own and that's it. And I said, my servants are afraid and they say that you're looting and you're shooting people and I've got to show them that you're not. Oh, well, he said, okay. I said, I will take my car, and he said, I will give you a jeep in front and a jeep at the back, armed, and you can go through Arab town. So I did a tour of the whole of Arab town with my two jeeps and my servants in the car, and there wasn't one place that we found had been looted. No, nothing had been shot, nothing at all. And after that, whenever I went to a dinner at the residency or whenever I saw the servants, they practically bowed to the ground. But it was quite an experience. Every corner there were these armed soldiers lying on their tummies and aiming at nothing. But he was a very sensible colonel. He was a tough one, that one. Very tough. Which was why he was put in charge. So that was quite a nice little adventure. Well, sorry about the rabbit, but thankful it wasn't a child. And after that, things quietened down. The army took over. And we started getting ready to leave.
Was Louis looking forward to his retirement?
No, he was broken-hearted. He lived for his work. He was very, very good at it.
So you are...
I was trying to remember. I must have bought the flat in Paris the last time we were there before the troubles, because we knew we were moving there, and I persuaded my husband, when things were getting a bit difficult in Egypt, I said, look, it's no good your having a bank account. You'd better buy some diamonds. So I made him buy three nice diamonds. And actually, Egypt froze all the all the accounts of foreigners. And of course he walked out of Egypt with his three diamonds in his pocket, which bought the flat in Paris, which I found. And fortunately the flat happened to belong to a diamond merchant, which was very lucky. And he took the diamonds for the flat. So we had a flat ready to move to. And of course, that was 52, 56. Of course, that was appalling. So we missed that. Right in time. 56 was quite dreadful. They turned all the foreigners out of their houses. They tipped all their belongings into the middle of the road and went off with them. They had no money. It was an appalling time. Absolutely dreadful. So we were out in time. We were lucky.
But I want to take you back to 52. You go to Spain with your mother, presumably for a short holiday of some sort?
No, we wanted to do Easter in Spain because there is no other place
right.
to do Easter but Spain. And
you went to Santiago de Compostela?
No, we went to Toledo. No, Santiago is a place you go to on pilgrimage. But Toledo has a tremendous Easter celebration, so does Barcelona. But Toledo is absolutely out of this world. Easter lived with me for years after. So I always starved myself on Good Friday for years. It absolutely lived with me. Stayed with me for a very long time.
Despite being a heretic?
Well, that had nothing to do with it. How you believe has nothing to do with the state of your mind.
This is an appropriate point to ask then. Do you have a Christian faith?
That's a very difficult one. I believe in the story of Christ. I believe that he did his miracles. I see no reason why not, because people still do miracles. And I see nothing against it. I think his teaching was marvelous. I think he was a wonderful creature. As to being the Son of God, he said that we are all children of God. So I can't see that it cuts any ice like that. He said we were all sons of God and daughters. I don't believe in religions. I think they have done so much appalling damage that they don't deserve to be there. I think their language and their ceremonies are absolutely wonderful, and if you interpret them in the right way, you can get immense spiritual pleasure out of them. They are marvelous. But I think religion has been turned. I don't believe in religions. Not what we've made of them. Ideally, yes, but they're not ideal. And so many appalling things have been done in the name of religion that I don't hold with them. But I do hold with their ceremonies. I think they are wonderful. As to believing in a God who's got a beard and so on, no, I don't. If you think that we're only one small universe, part of many, many, many more universes that go on forever, I do not think that God is a personal thing at all. I think he's a spirit that envelops infinity, and you can't view infinity. You can't get a conception of infinity when you're a mere human. Whether we live afterwards, again, there's so many proofs that we do that you can't deny it altogether. I've seen ghosts, so I know they exist. What they are, I don't know. I think there's a spirit world, but I only think. But there are so many proofs of it. You can't deny it, I don't think. That's about it.
Thank you.
I have had a presence of Christ when I was going to be confirmed. And I was doing one of my sessions with the priest, and he directed the straight question to me, "Do you believe in Christ?" And suddenly I was aware of a figure standing beside me. And I said, "I do," and I still remember that. And I see no reason why he shouldn't exist in the spiritual form. I don't see why anybody should be spiritual after they're dead, nor do I see why they shouldn't. I'm prepared to wait and see. I think that's it.
So we return to the corporeal world.
Yes, to
Toledo.
Easter in Spain. It was magic. It was so real. It moved one to the very depths of one's being. And when they were preparing for the first procession, they have these enormous carts completely smothered in flowers. And then in the middle there would be an image of either the Christ or the crucifixion or Mary or whatever. They were all the different figures. They'd be in the middle of this bed of flowers. And the carts were then drawn by probably something like 20 or 30 of these people with these hoods on, these penitents. Brown or white or whatever. Anyhow, before the first procession, my mother was always doing this. She always got into places where she shouldn't be. And we both got into the enormous building where they were preparing the carts and arranging the flowers. And we wandered round there. There was nobody else in there except us and the people who were doing the carts. So we set off with the procession pretty well. And I can't remember how many there were. There was Good Thursday. There was Good Friday, which was the crucifixion, which was absolutely harrowing, terrible. There was that procession. And one waited anxiously for the resurrection, and one had an immense sensation of relief at the resurrection, that it was over and that it was all right. Extraordinary relief. Magnificent services. The Friday night's service in the cathedral was wonderful, with all the women with their black lace headdresses and the candles, banks of candles. They're marvellous, absolutely marvellous. I'd love to do it again. We lived in another world. So I was very grateful to my mother for that. And Toledo was a nice place, but of course, they're totally unorganized, the Spanish. Their hotels are unorganized, or they were then. I bet they are now. And I got into bed one night and I wanted to ring the bell for something. No, I didn't. I wanted to turn on the light. That was it, beside the bed. So I switched the light on, and the next thing I knew, there were 10 people in my room asking what was the matter and what did I want. So I said, I don't want anything. I just want to put the light on. Oh, no, they said, the bell rang downstairs. It's called us. I said, I'm sorry, but I didn't. It was the light. So they fiddled about, and there was a box in the wall, but the box didn't close, and there was something like a plate of spaghetti in it. So they fiddled about with these things, and they said, now it's all right, that's fine. So they all went downstairs again, so then I tried to put the light on, and back they came. We played with this all night. We had a shower, but they didn't shower. We were supposed to get hot water, but we didn't get hot water. And it was one of the best hotels in Toledo, but it was disorganized. The people were charming. You ask your way, they don't say, oh, it's over there. They say, oh, we'll take you. And they'll walk quite a long way to get you to where you want to go. Very nice. Yes, very nice indeed. Marvellous pictures and galleries and so on, of course, that we did. A lot of El Greco. Not sure I like El Greco. We had a lovely time. And what we did after that, I'm not sure.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Yes, I say, what we did after that, I'm not quite sure. Spain. Spain, Spain.
Would you like me to pause for a moment?
Yes, I think so. I think I've come to a stop.
Suzanne, what did your husband think of you going to Spain?
Oh, he was not at all pleased. He thought I ought to go out en famille with everybody else.
From Egypt?
From Egypt, yes.
But to Brittany, one assumes, or Paris?
Paris. Yes, moved to Paris to the flat. But it was all very emotional because everybody was very fond of my husband. And they sort of made a double avenue as one went and packed things up and everybody was crying and it was all very sad. Very sad indeed. My poor husband was miserable. I wasn't particularly happy either. It was a difficult move. Anyway, move we did. And that was that. And we tried to get my husband a post with the canal company, but unfortunately the man who would have recommended him and wanted him to have it, he died. He had a heart attack, I'm not sure. But he died, and so my husband's support disappeared. Otherwise he'd have had a job in Paris with the canal company. So he didn't get that.
Having said that, he is of a reasonable age if he was born in 83.
Yes, but he was still a very energetic and intelligent man. He had a lot to give still. He bored himself stiff just reading the newspaper and sitting. He hated him. And of course, when we used to go to Paris for the conferences that he went for, and we lived in Paris and had a lovely time going to the theatre and the opera and so on. And it was rather different. We couldn't go to the opera and the theatre